Welcome back, everybody, to episode 61, my brother tells me, of Running Into the Fog, here with the Johnson brothers. Derek, how are you doing today?
61, and they're calling for a blizzard or something here in Madtown, so we'll see what matriculates from it.
Well, you can watch over my shoulder as the snowflakes start falling if we do get any weather down here, but we've got an exciting show today. We've got a great guest. Mr. Sebastian Herrera is joining us. And Sebastian, we'll add you in here to join the party. Our 2022 Matthews medalist, the winner of the Jim Matthews Award for and Fellowship for Intelligence Excellence. Congratulations, Sebastian. Welcome.
Thank you so much. And thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you here. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff today. And for our folks in the audience, we've got a little bit of sort of run of show to share with you. That little QR code you see on your screen, if you scan that, that'll allow you to redeem something called a POAP, Proof of Attendance Protocol, NFT, which will give you privileges down the line. We're building out our Reconverge stakeholder reconnaissance community as we speak. I'll mention that here again here in a second, but that's going to be the place where you can use those POAPs to drive your engagement and influence with the rest of our stakeholders. So more on that later. As an FYI for everyone, this is being recorded. The way we do these is the first 30 minutes is a social stream. We're going to be streaming on multiple social platforms. Feel free to join us there anonymously. If you want to join the second half of the show, which is called Unspeakable, where we can get really down to earth and open up to some topics that might be a little more controversial on social platforms, you're going to have to register for that. And you register for that at openrecon.com. Go over to openrecon.com and you can click the little RITF button and you can get registered and come back here and maybe talk to Sebastian yourself, just like us, which is my final ground rule. We have up to 3 interlocutor slots in our second half. And I see some great candidates in our audience already for that role. Please consider joining us at raising your hand as an interlocutor if you're on the bridge. So you can talk to Sebastian too. We give you up to 10 minutes to have a quick conversation that Derek and I kind of get out of the way. We joke that we like to outsource the conversation to our audience from time to time. And you guys come up with some pretty great questions that we don't think of. So we certainly don't have a monopoly on insight here with regard to these best and brightest minds that we try and bring together. So with that, Derek, do you have an opening question for Brandon, something you want to familiarize our audience on, and we'll kick off the unthinkable half?
Yeah, you know, at some point, Sebastian, as the brothers Johnson have 8 young, still young, Eric's are a little older than mine, but 8 young kids between us. I'd love to hear the story you just shared about how maybe you've been a little bit naive to what your mom has actually done for a living for a while until just recently. But let's first start with kind of where you come from. I know that in your current climate, you're not fearing a snowstorm here today. So maybe we start with a little bit of the background on Sebastian. Where do you live? What kind of got you to where you are today? And what are you most excited about in regards to what you're up to?
Yeah, absolutely. So thank you guys. I'm Sebastian. I'm currently residing in Athens, Georgia. I go to the University of Georgia. Before this, I've sort of lived all across Northeast Georgia, which is not a very big area, but it's very different depending on where you are in Northeast Georgia. And before that, I lived in Mexico. So I was born in Cancun, and we moved up to the United States and up to Georgia when I was about to turn 5. As far as to what got me to where I am today, just having a supportive family that pushed me to do my best academically and continue to push me to be my best. And so everything I try to do, I try to do it well, and I work hard for what I've achieved. And so that's really why I'm here today, I would say.
Right on, brother. So sort of American dream 2022 kind of is what I'm hearing there, is that, you know, as I don't know what the right politically correct word is these days, as someone who was born somewhere else, but who immigrated to America and is obviously building a life here, what brought you to the University of Georgia? How'd you choose the Terry School of Business?
Well, originally, I grew up in North Georgia, right? So all the Georgia fans I saw were wearing all camo and were not saying very nice things to my family occasionally, right? And so I didn't see the real UGA experience. And my mom was like, hey, it's in state. You'll get Hope and Zelle, which is our state scholarship. So it'll be reduced tuition. It'll be great. And I took a tour and I was like, all right, mom, I'll put it in my top 10. And then she made me go on another tour. And I was like, all right, mom, I'll put it in my top 5. And then she made me go on the last tour. And the last tour was focused on Hispanic students. So it's called Movimiento Latino. And it's a Hispanic organization, basically runs a tour for parents and their children. And I looked around, I was like, oh, wait, there's a community here for me to join. And I went home and I joined immediately. And it's the best decision I've ever made.
That's really exciting. I'm very, very happy to hear that. And so you're an MIS major. And I'm just going to point out the fact that since the Matthews Medal was initiated, I think it was 2013 was our first class of Matthews winners. We've often had as many as 2 winners. There's very seldom been a solitary winner. That happens when the competitor who takes the title is, there's quite a gap between the front runner and the pack, so to speak. And so, you know, the fact that you are a solitary winner this year actually speaks volumes about the quality of your submission, which incidentally, I will confess, I did not read. That was run by Craig Fleischer, our director, our chief analytics and learning officer here at Aurora. And also, I believe Craig's got a tie with the University of Georgia. And so that may be sort of how you learned about the Matthews Medal competition. It's a big deal for us because we had to put our reconverged learning business to sleep back in 2020 when the pandemic hit. And it was pretty clear we weren't going to be doing any meetings or workshops or learning events or anything. So you really represent the first event in the resurrection of that business for us. And I guess I just want to compliment you on, you know, the quality of your materials and submission, and then just inquire a little bit about the MIS major, because all the other winners of the Matthews Medal have been specifically focused on intelligence analysis, either law enforcement, national security, or somewhere in the business and competitive world. What sort of attracted you to want to compete for this honor?
Yeah, so I received an email from, I was taking a business intelligence course, and I received an email from my professor that was a forward of a forward of a forward that Mr. Fleischer had sent to someone in our MIS department, and they had passed it along until it finally got to my business intelligence class. They were like, hey, we've got this event and we're seeing if any MIS majors are interested in going. And something that's been instilled in me is to always be learning, always be trying to expand my view. And I read, you know, a short blurb about it. I was like, this seems great. It seems like a great opportunity. And I reached out to my professor, who then reached out to the guy who sent it to him, who then reached out to Craig Fleischer. And then eventually Craig and I got connected, and he was telling me more about the opportunity, about going to the summit and then the opportunity that would follow the summit. And it seemed like something that I'd really enjoy. I really enjoy problem solving, which seems to be a lot of what competitive intelligence entails. I have a love for analytics, right? Ever since I was, you know, seventh grade, I've been on Excel, just messing around, organizing my basketball cards, football cards, just as nerdy as you could be as a seventh grader. And I've always wanted new challenges, new projects. Like I said, I like to keep moving and hard work. And so having a new challenge to overcome and having a new challenge to face is something that excites me. And that seems to be sort of the direction that that seems to push me in the direction of competitive intelligence. I've, you know, done a lot of reading since and before, and it just seems like it's this ever moving, you know, field where you've got to be on the cutting edge. And that's something that really interests me.
Right on. Well, you're cut from the same cloth as my baby brother there. I don't know that he was using Excel in seventh grade, but darn near.
Derek, was Excel even out when I was in seventh grade?
Did we even have computers when we were in seventh
grade? I joke. It was probably out. It might have been in beta form. But Sebastian, I love a couple things that you said. So I've basically got a couple questions here in a row for you. You mentioned growing up in Northeast Georgia, where you had exposure to, you know, the world, you know, that didn't paint the University of Georgia in such a great light. You gave it a chance anyway. And, you know, I think that there's probably a lesson in there for all of us when we sort of prejudge or predispose a certain situation and how we might be right or not right for it. You know, can you go a little bit deeper in terms of that, and you know why? You know, obviously you found your Hispanic community on that third or fourth visit, but what was it on the first or second visit before you found that kind of nudged you to continue to give University of Georgia a chance? And, you know, I'd just love to learn a little bit more about that particular thing. And then I've got a follow-up question for you.
Yeah. So when I first came on campus, I was sort of expecting, I first moved to Dawsonville, Georgia, which is not the best town if you're coming from Mexico to move into. I was sort of the only Hispanic, I was the only person of color in my grade throughout most of elementary school. And then I ended up moving up to Habersham County. I went to a college preparatory private school where we had a lot of kids from dorms from all over the world, right? So I had been exposed to that all over the world aspect. And so when I visited UGA, they started talking about all these international programs they had, all these programs they had from people out of state, and how they were trying to build a community here, and how, although the percentages may seem a certain way, there's a lot of effort to, you know, decrease the barriers in between everybody. And so that's really what pulled me in that direction. Also, hearing about how great the Terry College of Business is really pushed me in that direction as well, because, you know, I wasn't super aware of the U.S. news rankings or anything like that going into my college search. And so being able to learn more about those experiences and speak to some students, you know, even just that were giving tours about their experience with diversity, it was something that I realized that, you know, even if it's not exactly where I was in high school, it's closer to what my experience was in high school than it would have been to my experience in elementary school.
Okay. Yeah, neat. I definitely wasn't arranging my football cards in Excel way back in the day. So kudos to you for getting nerdy even as a young man. You know, I mentioned Eric and I having all these kids. Most of them don't even know what we do. And I think that that's a phenomenon amongst young people, you know, and maybe you can fit yourself into that theme a little bit. It sounds like your mom, you later learned as you were preparing to go into this field of management information systems, maybe you learned that she had a pretty direct tie to that, even though you were unaware of that being your mom's career prior to showing some interest in there. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I never quite understood what my mom did. And then I took our intro to MIS course my fall of freshman year, and I went home and I was like, Mom, I found my major. I'm not going to be an accounting major. I'm not going to be a finance major. I don't want to do economics. I'm doing MIS. And she doesn't know it as that name, right? Because in her roles, it's called something else. It has to do with analytics or processes, right? And she's like, well, why don't you explain to me what it is? And I go, yeah, basically, right, I'm the bridge between the IT department and the business minds. I try to do all the processes. I try to make sure our business plan is correct. And she's like, yeah, Sebastian, I've been doing that for the past 7 years. And it sort of clicked for me. I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense then why I would love it so much, because you love it so much. And, you know, we're cut, you know, Apple doesn't fall far from the tree in that regard. And so it was an eye-opening experience. And she's been such a great resource to me since then, right? I had SQL classes and she has been using SQL for a decade. And so she's been, you know, very useful and helpful and has pushed me in the right direction.
That's an awesome story.
Following in su madre's footsteps, so to speak, that's pretty awesome. Well, that's really cool, Sebastian. You have a new appreciation now for all the stuff she was talking about when you were growing up, I'm sure, and it all kind of locks in. You know, that we've got, by the way, two of our interlocutors have been selected. Mr. Terry Thiel will be going first. Dr. Craig Fleischer will be going second. He's in the audience today, so you'll get to talk to both of those gentlemen. We have room for one more. It'd be lovely if it was a woman, because I'm about to change the topic here into diversity, equity, and inclusion, which I know is a very, you know, closely connected and passionate part of your life. But first, I want to remind people to scan that QR code and claim your POAP, which is what I did while Derek was talking with Sebastian just now. If you don't have time to do that, Sebastian, we'll make sure we've reserved one for you because obviously you're a little busy right now. I've learned to multitask through that. But tell me a little bit more about, is it LEAD Fellows? Is that what the DEI program is called at UGA? And tell us a little bit more about why you're so passionate about that and where it where it kind of fits into your academic field of study and how that's going to be a part of your career.
Yeah, absolutely. So LEE Fellows is Leaders Engaged in Affirming Diversity. And that is the fellowship I'm a part of that is through the whole University of Georgia. So that's through the Office of Institutional Diversity. Mm-hmm. And our main goal is to, for our first semester, you know, increase our competencies in DEIB work, continue to speak with campus leaders, industry leaders, and national leaders. We've been very fortunate to have some great speakers. And then our second semester is we split into groups and then we do group projects about diversity at UGA and how we think it could improve and sort of lay a blueprint for something that hopefully can be enacted once we're out of the program. On top of LEED Fellows, I've actually, I also am a Terry Diversity Fellow, which is another diversity program, but that's specifically through the College of Business. And that's really a mentorship program for underrepresented minorities in Terry. So our goal is to find these intended business majors, you know, freshman, sophomore, and plug them into Terry so they understand the resources that are available to them. Because if you don't get plugged in, it's hard to know how much is available to you. I didn't really until second semester of my junior year did I fully understand, oh, I've got all these resources at my disposal. I've got all these alumni that are willing to help. I've got people like Craig Fleischer that are looking for students to get involved. And it was sort of opening my eyes. And so as my eyes opened, I got the opportunity to be part of the first class of mentors that's opening the next generation's eyes. So hopefully these kids will far surpass my accomplishments and push beyond what I can even imagine.
Yeah.
On top of that, I'm also part of the Movimiento Latino Steering Committee. It's the first ever student integrated committee. They've been doing Movimiento Latino for 15 years, which is that program I was telling you about where prospective students and their families come to campus. And so I'm part of the steering committee, first ever student integrated steering committee. And that's been really my full circle moment. The person who got me here is now leading me in a committee to get more people like me here. And that's such a great, that's probably the thing I'm most proud of, even though it's probably my smallest role on campus, because I don't actually get to do much outside of just giving my advice, but it's what got me here and I'm able to contribute in some small way. And that means a lot to me.
Well, you know, as a middle-aged straight white guy, I've learned this much about diversity, is that diversity is really about representation and visibility. And so the fact that you are visible and representing the heritage and, you know, point of view that you come from is really, you know, the fundamental cornerstone of what diversity is about. If there are no other Hispanic men in a program like the one you're in, that's a bit of a disincentive to Hispanic men to want to be part of the program. And I think that's the coolest part about diversity for me, again, middle-aged straight white guys talking here, that there is representation and that inspires others to want to be part of it too. And I think that's ultimately the coolest part of diversity from my point of view. So I'll do one last call to action. Hey, we've got now a representative for the ladies, or one of our favorite ladies, Teresa Pfeiffer, has volunteered to take the third interlocutor slot. So Derek and I are going to keep going with Sebastian here for about another 10 minutes. We're going to say goodbye to you folks on social media, because if you haven't gone to openrecon.com and registered to join the bridge by now, you're probably never gonna. So we're going to say goodbye to you, or adios when that time rolls around. But Sebastian, tell us a little bit more about what you're going to be doing. Are you graduating in December of 2023? It sounds like you've got an internship this summer that I think you're able to talk about. And then what's next for you after graduation?
Yeah, so I'm graduating December 2023. I've got an internship in New York City this summer for KPMG doing technology assurance audit. And post grad, right, I'm still trying to keep my options as open as possible. You know, there's the opportunity that I love technology assurance and that I may stick with it. There's also a chance that it's not where I want to go. And so I'm continuing my recruiting process throughout, you know, the rest of this spring and into the summer, and trying to keep my options open. As I sort of mentioned before, I'm at the stage now where I feel like I don't know enough about myself to settle into one place yet. So I'm just trying to push myself to explore as many opportunities as possible, while also staying focused on, you know, a general direction. Of course, with general directions, right, the further you get in, the wider they get, because you start learning more and more and more, and all of a sudden your mind opens to these all these opportunities that you've got in front of you. So I'm trying to stay focused in, especially the tech analytics, you know, point of view, but just exploring what all I can do, and industry-wise, consulting-wise, what I can do within all those different intelligence career paths.
Outstanding. Mm-hmm. Derek, you came off mute there. Did you have something you wanted to jump in with?
You know, at the risk of going into a topic that's obviously it's kind of raw still. I've got a niece at Michigan State University, and a couple nights ago, there was a shooting on that campus. It's not every day we get a college student on running into the fog, but as the someone who can represent what it's like to be on a campus that's open and diversified, and maybe I'll even dare say at risk of situations like what happened two nights ago in East Lansing, Michigan. Do you have any perspective for our audience about the way college students kind of process that type of news these days, and or any personal anecdotes for yourself or your close-knit community about kind of how to think that through?
Yeah. So I'll sort of start with, I feel like our population at any level, but especially on the college level, is so split, whether it be politically, socioeconomically, even Greek, not Greek, between all your different colleges. And so I can only speak to the communities that I'm in. Some people just put on the blinders and keep trudging forward because they can't afford to think about that right now because they've got too much on their plate, which is a point of view that I understand and I can respect, because sometimes, you know, it just makes you want to tear up and stop what you're doing and really think for a while. And some people can't afford to do that. Others, you know, are called to action through that type of thing. And so they look for opportunities to assist and help. And I know our campus has a lot of different organizations that have been called to action after this and want to protect our students. Also being at a state school, right, especially being in an open carry state, like guns are a part of life at UGA. I don't personally carry one with me on campus, but I know people who do, and that's their right given by the state. And so it's hard to put it in words, right, my personal perspective, because it's unlike anything I've ever experienced.
Sure.
And so all I can do is, you know, just send as much of like my energy to, you know, praying for them, sending condolences, right? But I don't know what actions as a college student you can take post a tragedy like that. It paralyzes a little bit. And I will be honest, I have not gone to class the past, you know, 36 hours, just because I was a little bit frazzled by it. And so obviously doing a little bit better now, and I'm gonna absolutely tackle my classes head on starting tomorrow. But it's definitely been, you've seen campus slow down a little bit just because another big state school experienced a tragedy like that.
Right. I think that's really insightful, you know, from the standpoint of everybody is going to process that news a little bit differently. Yet kind of sharing, you know, love and prayers and, you know, community, sense of community and everything like that is maybe what I'm taking away from your answer. Thank you for going in that direction. I never really know on this podcast which direction I'm going to go. Eric will tell you that now in 61 episodes. I've made people cry. I've made people laugh. And everything in between.
Nobody's Eric, quit yet, though. Nobody's like turned off in a puff or anything. No, which is
nobody's cool. Just left the podcast. That part is true.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
That's Eric, awesome. You got another question before we open it up?
Well, You know, I want to linger for a second on the difference between human intelligence and artificial intelligence before we turn you over to our three interlocutors here in succession, Sebastian. Being in sort of data analytics and science, I've noticed that there's a presumption by many, I think, in the business world that that means automatically sort of machine learning and artificial intelligence are going to be the landscape by which you're going to operate. My last question for Unthinkable here is to point out that really to be human involves two very imperfectly imitable elements that software will, I don't believe it'll ever really be able to do. The first is choice. And the reason for that is because you can't hold software accountable for the impact of its choices on others. You can't hold your Tesla responsible for whether it chooses to run the grandma over or the baby over. And who do you sue in that situation? Who is responsible and accountable for decisions based upon a machine making them? That's number one. Number two is hope. Software can't make the kinds of sacrifices necessary in order to have hope for the future. And your story, Sebastian, is such a story of hope, really. A story of, I put them on my top 10 list, Mom. All right, they're on the top five. Okay, I'll fit here. I have hope now that UGA is the place that I can call home. So I'd love to get your perspective on that. The difference between human intelligence based on choice and hope and the inimitable elements that really produce value in the intelligence product versus artificial intelligence, which can't and hopefully never will. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I'll sort of reference back to that business intelligence class I talked about a little bit before. And we touched on artificial intelligence. We didn't get in depth into it as much because it was more of a business intelligence class. But something that my professor sort of stressed to us was that, and this applies to competitive intelligence, business intelligence, all sorts of intelligence, is that at the end of the day, right, the decision comes down to the human being. The data can say something, you know, artificial intelligence can make a decision on itself. But if we're talking about business processes and the direction that you want to go, right, that comes down to the human being making that decision. You can choose to ignore the facts and figures in front of you. You can look at it through your biased lens and come up to a different conclusion that someone else would. And that imperfection, right, I think is what separates, you know, the greats from the people that don't quite get where they're going. And it's having that instinct. And you know, it doesn't come naturally, I don't think. At least I hope it doesn't, because, you know, I don't necessarily think that I would have the best instincts right now as a 21-year-old college student as to those type of decisions. But something that we develop over time. And, you know, I can't help but notice Derek's got the mama mentality canvas on the back, and that's sort of a great testament to, right, human versus artificial intelligence. Mama mentality is just putting your nose to the grindstone and working and working and working and outworking those around you. And I think to put that hard work in gives humans an edge that artificial intelligence will never have. You know, we know the sacrifices that we've had to get there. We can empathize with other people, like you said. And that gives us, you know, an advantage in this decision-making process and the, you know, is this going to affect people beyond me, beyond my company, beyond my community, and how is it going to affect them?
Great, great answer. I have one last little plug to make before we cut our social media folks free. And that is that I am announcing today that the very first of our Reconverge internships will be happening this summer. And Reconverge internships happen in two different academies. The first of those academies is called Dark Technology. Dark is short for Distributed Ledger, Artificial Intelligence, Mixed Reality, and Quantum Computing. And applications for that will open on March 1st. So in about 2 weeks, you'll be able to apply for that. March 1st also happens to be the date when we're roasting my kid brother's 20th anniversary in the business. So Sebastian, I hope you'll come back on Running Into the Fog as an audience member and help me roast my kid brother along with all of his best friends from the competitive intelligence world to hopefully come on and recollect their memories of him in that same day. The other academy is called the Academy of Applied Superiority, and we'll be selecting undergraduate students only from one of our three partner universities in the Reconverge Network, Concordia University of Wisconsin, Mercyhurst University, or Gannon University, both in Erie, Pennsylvania. So if you are an undergraduate matriculated by June 1st of 2023, go to that page, and I'll put the link into the chat again here for you as well. And register to let us know that you want to be reminded to apply for that. So with that, we're going to say goodbye to all of you folks on social. До свидания, робота всех российская, and all the Russian botnets. In other words, I usually greet them in their native language, Sebastian, because they're watching us, as you might imagine. And we're going to welcome on here as I cut the social streams. Bye-bye, everybody.